Greetings from the land of milk and honey, Pete said. That's what I heard. Land of milk and honey. I don't know about that. One thing I do know is if we change locations, we bring us with us. Anybody else experience that? When you change locations, you're still the same person, whether you're east, west, south, or north. You're the same person. So we have no more milk and honey over there than you guys do over here. And we have our trials, and we have our joys, and we have our blessings. And yeah, it's a blessing. Greetings from New Brunswick, from the church there. It's good to be here. Good to be with the church here. Good to see many of the faces I only get to see every now and then. But it seems like we can always just start right where we left off last time we saw each other. So that's encouraging to have that opportunity. So, yeah, it's good to see everyone. I'm going to drive this over. Are these wheels locked? No? Okay. I'm going to use this today. Write down a few things just to help us to remember some things here. I just want to start with a question. Actually, before I do that, maybe we can bow our heads for prayer and get started. Our Father, we want to thank you this morning. We want to thank you for the opportunity that we have again here to gather, the opportunity I have to be with these dear brothers and sisters. I pray that you would minister to us by your word. I pray, God, that you would encourage and help us, Lord. We need you. We look to you this morning. Help me, Lord, to be clear in what I say and faithful to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'm going to start with a question that I just want you to think about a little bit. Just a simple question, and maybe you've been asked it before. How is your thought life? How is your thought life? It's a question, maybe you get asked that question by somebody that cares about you. Somebody comes to you maybe on a regular basis. Maybe you've got some accountability friends, brothers and sisters that ask you that question. But I want to start with that question because I believe it's a very, very important question for us to consider. How is your thought life? Because our thoughts are extremely powerful. Our thoughts are what dictate our entire lives. The way you live today, how you're living right now, is based on the seed that started in your mind, our thoughts. And maybe some of you this morning, if you look back on this past week, maybe you had thoughts that shouldn't have been there. Maybe you had wandering thoughts. Maybe you had sinful thoughts. Maybe you had things that you've been struggling with in your mind for a long time. You're battling with some thoughts like that this past week. I don't know where everybody's at, but I know if you're human, which I believe we all are here, then you have had thoughts that come into your mind, that temptations come into your mind, and sometimes you don't know exactly how to handle them. You don't know how to think in a way that's pleasing to God. And I'm hoping this morning that I can help you, as we look at the scriptures, I can help you with your thought life. That's my goal this morning. Simple goal, simple desire I have. I feel like it's such an important thing for us to look at often. Colossians 1 says that we are alienated and enemies in our mind by wicked works. That's the foundation. That's where it starts. Our minds are what alienates us from God right from the beginning, because we can't see outwardly what's going on in the head of everyone, but God knows what's in our mind. So this is the first thing that we have to realize, is that our minds have been corrupted by sin. Our thoughts wander, our thoughts are often undisciplined, they're often not where they should be, and therefore our lives follow that path. And I know that everybody here, I'm convinced, for every Christian in this room this morning, that you want a victorious thought life. Amen? Everybody wants a victorious thought life. I believe that. I want that. And so this morning I just want to talk about that. And that's what I've titled my message, Five Keys to a Victorious Thought Life. Five Keys to a Victorious Thought Life. And I'm just going to write them all down here. I've made it simple. They all start with the letter R. Should help us to remember them. I'm just going to write down one at a time So number one, the first key to a victorious thought life is we need to renew our minds. We need to renew our thoughts. And you probably all know where I'm going with this one already, but this is a foundational one we need to start with. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Our thoughts need to be renewed. If we want a victorious thought life, our thoughts need to be renewed. And the Apostle Paul tells us that very fact in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. So many Christians think, for some reason, I thought this way too, that when you get born again, that because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. Therefore, my mind is new. I got born again now. I have all thoughts that I ever had as an unbeliever are gone and washed away, and I'm new. And there is a truth there. I think that every one of you that's born again here had that happen to you to some extent. But it's interesting, this passage here says something that needs to still yet take place. Something that needs to still happen in the Christian life. There is truth and reality to that. A lot of bad things that I used to think, it seems almost instantaneously, almost miraculously, when I got saved, my mind was renewed to think in a way that God would have me to think. A lot of the things that I used, my whole mindset. I mean, the initial decision to follow Jesus is a complete mindset change. So your thoughts, your drive, your passion, your goal in life has changed. It has been renewed initially. But every one of us also experiences that some of those thoughts, some of those patterns sneak up again. They seem to want to come back again. And so here's the first thing that we need to do. We need to have our thoughts renewed day by day. And how do they get renewed? Well, I think we know the answer to that one too. First of all, the first thing is God's Word. Primary way for us to have our mind renewed is by the Bible. God's going to teach us in His Word as we read the Bible how to think, how to live, what to do, what not to do. And that renews our minds. And so what's the simplicity of renewing your mind? The first key to having a victorious thought life is get the Word of God in your heart and mind. Day by day, memorize it, read it, meditate on it as much as you possibly can. If you're struggling with thoughts of sinful thoughts, impure thoughts, anything, wrong thoughts, untruthful thoughts, thoughts that are wrong about someone else, the first thing you need to do is get the Word of God to wash it away. You need the Word of God to tell you the truth. You need your mind to think rightly. And that's what Psalm 119 says. We know this verse too. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart. And that's often translated mind or thought. Heart is very synonymous with that. That I might not sin against thee. So hiding God's word in the heart and the mind accomplishes something. It accomplishes you keeping you from sin. And that's what we need to do. It's such an important thing for us to do. We need to wash our minds anew over and over again in the fountain of the Word of God, and it will wash away the old things. And this is what I did, and this is why I always encourage, especially new Christians, this is the time in your life, soak in the Word of God. It's not going to get easier. You're not going to have more time as you get more mature in your faith. When you get born again, get in the Word of God. Get that foundation set that you're thinking rightly, that you're understanding how you ought to behave yourself now. Because even though now you have the Spirit of God, give the Spirit of God something to work with. Give Him some truth to remind you of when you're going the wrong way with your thoughts. And it's so, so important that we start right here. If we want to renew our minds, we need to get God's Word in. And that branches right to the next thing here on how we renew our minds, is we need to renew our minds, but by being convinced of how God thinks of us, not what others or the devil thinks of us. Every Christian has had the lies of the world and the lies of the devil being told them about what they should pursue, what makes them have worth. Every one of us has that. Every one of us. Even Jesus. You remember what the devil did to Jesus? He said, if you be the Son of God, If you be the Son of God, do this. If you are the Son of God, do this. He's putting doubts in Jesus' mind of his sonship. You know, the devil still does that. The devil does that all the time. I'm sure he's done that to everyone in this room that's a Christian. He puts that, if you're really a Christian, if you're really a daughter or son of God, you wouldn't have had that thought. You wouldn't have done that thing. He puts those thoughts in your mind. And you need to be convinced of your standing before God. You need to be convinced that your worthiness doesn't come from the outworking, your experience. Your worthiness comes by your standing with God. By God calling you what you are not. You are not. When you got saved, you were not a righteous person, but he called you righteous the instant that you were saved. And the devil woke up, you're not righteous. You're not justified. You're not really saved. And he does this, especially with those that have feeble minds. And I just want to encourage you this morning. This is what we need. If we want to renew our minds, we need to renew our minds by the word of God, which teaches us to think rightly about how God looks at us and not how the world looks at us. The world looks at us and wants us to go its way, its path. The world has a way, the world has a direction, and it wants our thought patterns to be just like the world. And the flesh, all these things will drive us in one simple direction, but we need to renew our minds by remembering that even when we fail, that God doesn't cast us off, but he still loves us. We need to renew our minds by that. Because a lot of people feel like when they fail, that now, what now? What now? Does God still love me? And I could spend a whole message talking about God's love and how much he cares for us and what he's all done for us. But this, I just wanted to focus on this one a little bit because I believe it's one that comes up so often in so many Christians, especially, like I said, those that have more feeble minds. But any Christian, these attacks can come from the devil. They come from the world to get us to think wrongly, to get us to think that we need certain things. And like I said before, to have worth. I need to live up to a certain level. I need to have a certain amount of a style of life, of a pursuit in my life. I need to have a certain amount of money. All these different ideas, in order to have worth in my life, I need those things. So that's a lie, and you need to tell and renew your mind with the truth of God's word, and that's the first thing that needs to happen. Colossians 3, verse 10 says, "And this is what the Christian has done. We have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge." How? After the image of him that created him. This is how the Spirit of God has come in, and he has renewed us in knowledge of everything. After the image of Christ. Christ's way, Christ's mind, Christ's direction, his pursuits. This is what has been accomplished at the cross for every single believer. So I want you to think about that often. What does God call you? Don't you worry about what the devil has to say. Don't you worry about the world calls you. If the world calls you a fanatic, if the world calls you just wasting your life because you're spending so much money and energy on this pursuit of Christianity, don't you worry about that. You concern yourself with what God thinks of you and remind yourself often of your identity in Christ. You're a new creation. You're beloved of God. You're his son. You're his daughter. Remind yourself of that often. Our minds need to be renewed continually of these truths. So that's the first one. Our minds need to be renewed, the first key. The second one is our minds need to be, our thoughts need to be restrained. Restrained. I'm not a teacher. I don't write that much anymore, but I hope you can read that. I trust you can. Our thoughts need to be restrained. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says this, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So our thoughts need to be restrained. I see that in this passage here, and I just want to share a little story here. In the early days of World War II, British intelligence was called M15. Not that that means anything, but that's just what they're called. British intelligence, M15, captured a man named Arthur Owens. He was a Nazi spy sent from Germany to gather information in England. But instead of immediately locking him away, the British decided to interrogate him. They didn't just ask Are you a spy? And leave it at that. No, they pressed him. They questioned everything. Who sent you? What's your mission? What do they want you to find out? What are you really here for? They didn't trust the first answer that came out of his mouth. They tested it, probed it, cross-examined it, and in doing so, they uncovered a lot more than just his cover story. They discovered a web of Nazi intelligence and eventually turned Arthur Owens into a double agent who helped deceive the enemy and protect countless lives. Brothers and sisters, we need to restrain our thoughts by interrogating our thoughts just like that. Exactly like those British did to that German spy, we need to take our thoughts and interrogate them. Take them captive. That's what that word captive is. This man was a captive. He was caught by the British, and they took him captive. And what do you do with a captive? You interrogate a captive. You want to find out, what is this captive doing here? What's he all about? Have you ever done that with your thoughts? Have you ever done that with your thoughts? When a stray thought comes into your mind, when an evil, impure thought, an untrue thought comes into your mind, have you ever interrogated it? What are you doing here? Where did you come from? What's your purpose? You think, oh, that sounds kind of mechanical. That sounds kind of strange. Well, it's in the Bible. The Bible tells us that we ought to take captive our thoughts, these thoughts that come from all over the place. We all have thoughts, every one of us. You know, sometimes a thought pops in your mind, where in the world did that come from? Well, you ask, examine it. Why is this here? What is this doing here? Where did it come? What kind of things led to this? Interrogating our thoughts. I believe that's what this scripture is teaching us to do. We need to thoroughly interrogate our thoughts, and when they come into our heads, whether it be thoughts about God, what God is like, whether it be thoughts about ourselves, thoughts about others. You ever do that? Thought comes into your mind about someone else that you're not sure. And you know what? There's so much evil that has happened in this world because a thought has come into the mind of a person about someone else that is completely untrue, unfounded, never, and they run with it. That thought was never interrogated. That thought was never considered and wondered, where does this thing come from? Just people run with these thoughts. So we need to stop, first of all, take them captive, interrogate them. What in the world are you doing here? Hold them up like this and do the exact same thing next, what they did. We don't just leave it there. We don't just question our thoughts and just examine them like this. Now we need to do what the British did with this Nazi spy. We need to now take these thoughts captive, and now you're going to obey us now. You're going to be our tool now. You're going to be a double agent now. Now you're actually going to go and work for us. And that's what he says. We're going to take these thoughts captive, and now they're to be under the obedience of Christ. Okay, thought. You know, you weren't right. I'm going to teach you to do the right thing now, to think the right way about that person, that thought that just came into your mind about brother so-and-so. Well, that's not a true thought because I interrogated that thought. I thought that through. That's not true. I don't even know anything about that situation or whatever it is. Well, now I'm going to take it on the obedience of Christ. What does Christ say? How would he have me think of my brother or my sister? How would he have me relate in that situation? And now I'm going to obey Christ in that way. This is what this scripture is teaching. It's not enough just to interrogate our thoughts. It's not enough just to get to the bottom of why they're there, but we need to find out and teach our thoughts to do the right thing, to obey Christ, to be subject to Christ in everything. In everything, no matter what that thought is, no matter what these things that seek to control our lives, these thoughts that come into our minds, that we need to put them under the obedience of Christ. And we can now. Why? Because we've been renewing our minds. We've been doing number one already. So now we're doing number two here. We're restraining those thoughts that come, and now we're going to put them under subjection. Thoughts, you're going to obey. You're going to do what I've been learning in the scriptures. Jesus tells me to bless them that curse me. Jesus tells me, I mean, you go through the scriptures, and all these scriptures that you've been washing your mind with, you'll know what to do now. You have thoughts, you're doing it right. You're going to obey. So that's what we need to do. We need to restrain our thoughts. We need to interrogate our thoughts. We need to put them under the obedience of Christ, which is so, so important. We need to make sure that our thoughts are heavenly thoughts. That's what the scripture teaches us. Heavenly thoughts. Things above, not on things on the earth. But it's not enough just to have these bad thoughts, get rid of these bad thoughts, which leads me to my next point. Number three, our thoughts need to be renewed, restrained. And number three, They need to be replaced. Our thoughts need to be replaced. And I think this is one that is often neglected or misunderstood. And so I want to do a little experiment with everybody here. I read a book a while back on the believer's thought life, and that's actually what triggered some of these thoughts for this message. But this book was titled Every Believer's Thought Life by a man named Stephen Arterburn. He does a little experiment at the beginning of one of the chapters. I'm going to do that with us this morning. I'm not exactly like he did, but similar. So I ask you to do something and do your best here. So whatever you do this morning, right now as I'm talking to you, do not think about a pink elephant. Do not think about a pink elephant walking down this aisleway here, coming up and joining me on the stage. Do not think about that pink elephant, whatever you do. Don't think of that pink elephant's big trunk and that big noise coming out of his mouth. Don't think about it, whatever you do. Don't think about a pink elephant. How is everybody doing? Nobody's thinking about a pink elephant, right? Anybody? Everybody's probably thinking about a pink elephant. Let's turn this around here a little bit. Now, I want you to think about a neon green tiger. Think about a neon green tiger. Think about this neon green tiger running through Straffordville and stopping at the variety store and buying some pop. Think about that green tiger walking in that store. Is anybody thinking about a pink elephant anymore? We're thinking about green tiger. What just happened? You replaced your thoughts. See, here's the thing that people do, right? They think, I need to stop thinking impure thoughts. I need to work hard to stop thinking impure thoughts. I need to get victory in this area of my life. I need to stop have wandering thoughts. I need to work on my thought life. And they focus on the negative. They focus on the pink elephant instead of replacing your thoughts. And that's what we need to do. We need to replace our thoughts. And the Bible tells us exactly how to do that. There's a quote I really appreciate. I want to read to us here. Thomas Chalmers, a man from a preacher from 1819. Really good. I think it was a sermon he preached called The Expulsive Power of a New Affection. This is a statement he made in that sermon. The only way to break the hold of a sinful or worldly affection is to replace it with a greater affection, namely love for God. He argues that simply trying to dislodge sin from the heart by moral effort or reasoning will not work. Instead, the heart must be captivated by a stronger, more beautiful desire, a new affection so powerful that it expels the old. And that is so, so true. You know, we think sometimes, especially as parents, every one of us parents here, we think, and it's a reality, it's true, it is hard to raise children for God. It's just true. It is. But the thing that we often focus on is all the things we need to keep our children from. Isn't that right? Isn't that we have so many things, and it's true. There's a lot of things we need to keep them from. But how much more should we give them that greater, more beautiful pursuit, that higher goal and pursuit in life? That is what we ought to be focusing on. It's the same thing with our thoughts. Our thoughts need to be dislodged, like he said, and replaced by greater, higher, more beautiful affections. Philippians 4:8 is the verse that teaches us to do that. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, here, this is a verse all about replacing our thoughts. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's the best way to stop thinking impure thoughts is to replace the thought as soon as it comes with a God-honoring thought. If you see something that you shouldn't have seen, you're in town, I don't know, the exact specific doesn't really matter, but you see something you shouldn't have seen, what's the immediate response of your mind and heart? It should be immediately to replace it. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, I know that there's been many times in my life as a Christian, as a husband, I think every one of you husbands in this room have experienced this also, where a temptation comes to look at another woman. That temptation comes to the mind. And God has taught me, I'm so thankful to my God that early on in my Christian life, I think I received some teaching. I know I was reading the scriptures and probably that mixed in, but I learned that immediately when those thoughts come, when that temptation comes, when I, if there's an immodest woman, does whatever the situation is, when the thought comes to my mind, I've immediately learned to think of my wife, to think a beautiful thought of my wife, to consider her and how much I care for her. Immediately, I've replaced that thought. I learned that early in my Christian life. And this applies, of course, to you husbands, but it applies to the wives here. It applies to every single one of you because it's the same principle. Whatever the thought is, this is a big one for men, obviously. The temptation is strong. Impurity, this world is, and the devil are doing everything they can to get you to think about someone other than your wife and other than your spouse. Replace that thought immediately. Think of things that are lovely, pure, good report. And I tell you, the victory is there instant. And the thought is gone. It may come back. I immediately do it again. Immediately. It's going to be something. It's easy. It's not easy at the beginning especially. But continually replace those thoughts. And I know anxiety, fear, that's a big one. Those anxious thoughts. You know, your son or daughter is going on an airplane for the first time and crossing the ocean. Some of you are going to have had that. Some of you are going to have that. And there's anxious thoughts, these fearful thoughts. What could happen? Fill your mind. Immediately replace it. Immediately replace it with true thoughts. With the true thoughts that you know that God cares for your son or daughter, that God is watching over them, that God has their best interest in mind. And I remember it so clearly when I flew overseas to the Middle East. It was years and years ago, but I remember it so clearly that God just gave me that rest almost instantly because I had a lot of, you know, I had two young children, I think third on the way, and a lot of anxious thoughts. My wife had them too, I'm sure. But immediately I learned that, no, I'm in God's hands. God's caring for me. What do I have to fear? If I go down in the ocean, that's fine. That's God's plan for me at that time. But I just immediately learning to replace those thoughts, especially that seems like this is something that infects, I don't know if that's the right word, but sisters more often, there's more of that anxiety that creeps in, the fear, especially for your children, don't run there, don't go there, oh, there's this fear and anxiety creeps up. But I want to encourage you, sisters especially, replace that thought, get the rest of it, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. This is what you're called to. And the only way to do that is if you know the truth. You haven't been doing number one, you haven't been renewing your mind and getting in the Word and washing, it's going to be hard to do that. And the anxiety will creep up and it affects you physically, it'll affect you, your health. Anxiety and stress is one of the greatest things that affects your health. And so I want to encourage us, let's learn to replace our thoughts. Those that struggle with wondering about their salvation, wondering if they're really saved. There's so many different areas here, but replace those thoughts with the hope of heaven. Replace those thoughts with Jesus and what he's done for you, and remind yourself often. That's what communion's all about. Communion's all about remembering. It's about bringing our minds back to what Christ has done. Why? So that we will persevere, so we'll continue on, so that we'll remember the price he paid, so that I don't have to have thoughts that are ungodly, but I can have the victory in my thought life. I give so many examples. Lying thoughts come to our minds, impure thoughts, negative thoughts of others, all these things we need to just immediately replace by the Word of God, by the truth, by lovely, pure, wonderful things. And it doesn't have to be always the Word of God. It can be nature. You know, your mind's on something that it shouldn't be. Like I said, thoughts can sometimes just pop in your mind. You're like, where did it come from? It came from the devil, most likely. Who cares where it came from? You've interrogated it. You got it. And now you're going to think about tree, beautiful flowers, whatever. Something beautiful, lovely. God's creation. Those are all things that God has given us. So many means that we can use. But you've got to do it on purpose. It's not going to just come. Our minds are not allowed to just be free and loosey and just flowing around here and there, because that's often the case. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. This counts with our thoughts too. Prove them, just like we said in number two there, but now hold fast to the good ones. Hold strong to the good thoughts. Make sure that we're doing that. So we need to renew our thoughts, restrain our thoughts, replace our thoughts. And number four, number For our thoughts need to be ready. Our thoughts need to be ready. Ready thoughts. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. One commentator of this verse, he said this in this verse. He says, the figure of the passage is taken from the flowing garments of the Oriental clothing. The flapping robes caught the wind and wrapping about the legs become a serious hindrance to easy and progressive movement. The wearer therefore lays hold of the hindering garments, tucking them into a girdle, which discharges the ministry of a belt. A similar disorder may prevail in the realm of thought and affection. What's it saying here? He's saying here that our thoughts can get tangled up, just like a robe would if you're trying to run. Our thoughts can be here and there and everywhere. So Peter exhorts us here to gird up our thoughts. He exhorts us to not be careless and allow our thoughts to trip us up, because that's what they can do. Like a robe that if you're trying to run, and you sisters know, when you're running in a long dress, it's hard to run. And so that what he's saying here is we need to have a readiness in our thoughts, that they would be girded up and that we would be free. Free to serve. Free to go forward with God. Ready to every good work. Because our thoughts are to be tools to help us run faster for Jesus. That's what they're to be. That's what a ready mind is. Ready to gird up and run. Ready to gird up and do what we can. Because you know, if you have a defeated thought life, you will not have a readiness to serve. You will not have an ability to give yourself for others. If you're defeated in your thought life, it's going to be like a tangled robe in your legs, and you're not going to be able to go forth and help and serve and labor for the kingdom. Our thoughts need to be ready to every good work. Peter addresses the elders in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. So the elders are to have a ready mind, a mind that is ready to give themselves to the church, to feed the flock, to give themselves. And this is a principle for every believer, not just for the elders, to have a ready mind. We're all to have that ready mind to give ourselves for others. You and I need to have that kind of mind if we're going to have a victorious thought life. That's what we need to do. Our thoughts need to be ready and not caught off guard. You know, we can, like I said before, we often can get caught off guard with stray thoughts, with wandering thoughts. I'm sure some of you sitting here this morning hearing me preach, your thoughts wandered somewhere. I'm not foolish enough to believe that I captivated everybody in this room. I know that's not the case. It happens to all of us. Our thoughts can wander, but here's the reality. We need to learn to take them captive. We need to learn to renew them, replace them, focus. It's not an easy thing. I'm not telling you that all these things are an easy thing, but they are commanded in the scriptures, and it is something that we all desire. I know that we do. We all desire to have victorious thought lives. And we got one more here that we're going to look at. And this one is not so much what we have to do, although we do have a part in this. But number 5 is revealed. Our thoughts are revealed. And this is a truth that I think that is one that we don't think of often. So there's two ways in which our thoughts are revealed. Our thoughts are revealed, first of all, by God's word, and secondly, they are fully known by God before we think them. Let's look at those two there. Firstly, Hebrews 4, verse 12. Our ththoughts are revealed by his word. Verse 12 says this, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So this verse teaches us that God reveals our thoughts and discerns our thoughts by his word. So how many times, brothers and sisters, have you experienced that? Everybody probably experienced that. You're reading the word of God and you're thinking, how did God know? How did God know? How did he cut through my thoughts there? He knew exactly where I was at. You're reading and a conviction comes. A rebuke comes from God. You're reading the word and immediately you know you need to do something about it. Because why is that? Because God is a discerner. He reveals what's really in there. He reveals what's really in your heart. The heart and the mind and are so connected in the scriptures, often synonymous. God reveals that. He shows it to us, and he does it by his word. It's so important that we realize and allow him to do that. I can't tell you how many times I've been in my time with God, in my quiet time, reading the scriptures, and I've had to make phone call. I've had to reach out to someone. I've had to go and apologize to my wife. Whatever it is, this has happened so often in my life that I know this is true. And I'm so thankful that God is a revealer of our intents and our heart. Although it's hard sometimes, it's a hard word from God. It's a discipline. It can hurt a little bit, but it's needful and it's so important. So realize that our thoughts are revealed. If we want a victorious thought life, we need to allow God to discern our thoughts. We need to allow God to show us things as we're reading the scriptures. And secondly, we need to allow our thoughts to be revealed by knowing that all our thoughts are revealed unto God. Psalm 139, verse 2. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. You know, that verse, we all know that verse. And it's a really comforting verse, but it's also a very sobering verse. That God knows our thoughts afar off. What does that mean? That means that God knew your thoughts you would have today before you were born. That's what that means. Did you know that? Did you know that God knew your thoughts afar off? He's always known what your thoughts would be, what your thoughts are going to be tomorrow, what your thoughts were before you were born. God knows them. And here's the amazing thing about that truth. It's a sobering thing. It's a fearful thing. But it's also an extremely comforting thing. Because listen to this. God knew that you would have thoughts of evil toward him when you were in an unbelieving state. God knew that. And you know what he did? He sent his son for you. Knowing your thoughts would be hatred toward him. Knowing you would have no love for him. He said, while you are yet sinners, while you are yet having sinful, evil thoughts, impure thoughts, ungodly thoughts, hateful thoughts toward others, he had thoughts of love for you. He had thoughts of the cross for you. That I'm going to lay down my life for that wicked thinking sinner. That's what our God did. He knew afar off. God has always known. He's known everything about you from before you were born until today. And that is an unbelievable reality to realize. If you will allow yourself to remember that truth, that in spite of even the things you thought about this past week, the things that you shouldn't have been looking at or thinking about, or maybe it wasn't overtly evil or anything like that, but just careless and not giving yourself to God like you know you want to. We all do. We want to serve him better. But even though God knows that, he still loves you, and he still wants to lift you up. He still wants to carry you. He still wants he hasn't given up on you. He hasn't cast you off just because you messed up in your thoughts this past week. He's still there. He knows everything, and he still loves you, cares for you. Sobering, but extremely comforting. Christ wants us to have a victorious thought life because it will change everything about us. If we can get a hold of these truths, if we can get a hold of God's word in this, then it will change the way you act in every area of your life. And I know that, like I said before, I know that we all want that. We all want to have control of our thought lives. We all want victory. If we fail, maybe some are completely living in defeat here. I don't know. Completely in defeat in your thought life. I hope, I trust that by God's word that maybe considering these things, applying them to your life, looking at the scriptures more in depth, dive into these things a little further, God's going to help you to overcome. He's going to give you the victory if you really want it. I know and I'm convinced that if you're going to practice these five keys, that you will be victorious in your thought life. Not because I came up with a message in five keys. You'll understand these are Bible keys. I don't make these things up. I draw them from the scriptures. I want us to have victorious thought lives. And I just want to close this morning with a verse that we all know, but I thought it was a good way to close. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. So let's keep our mind on him. Let's close with prayer. Our Father, we thank you this morning that in spite of us, in spite of all of our failings in our minds and our hearts, that you still love us, that you still care for us, that you give us such clear direction in your word that we don't have to wonder how we should think. You teach us how to think. You teach us how to live. You show us what is pleasing to you, what's not pleasing to you. I'm so thankful for that, Father. And I'm so thankful that you don't leave us to our own devices, but you give us your spirit. You dwell in us so that we have the strength to do it, that we have the grace to replace evil thoughts, that we have the grace to renew our minds, that your work in us can make us useful and fruitful for your kingdom. And I pray that for each and every one here, young and old, I pray that each one would have a desire and would grow in the area of their thought life. I just pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you all this morning.